Well, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 this morning. Can I just mention as well, particularly for John's benefit in the organ gallery, that our closing song is 764, not 754. It's 764, When We Walk With the Lord. That'll prepare John for that in just a few moments' time. But please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And this morning we have a very simple message from the Word of God, a very profound message. I hope a very life-transforming message. It's a very timely message, a very crucial message, one that's vital for us to hear and to put into practice as the Lord's people. And the message this morning is simply that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul, Silas and Timothy, I'm going to ask and urge you in the Lord to do this more and more. Verse 1. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And it sounds straight away as though we've got more activity to be involved in, and that's not necessarily the case, which is why we need to be careful of our response to what God says to us this morning. When Paul says that we're to do this more and more, the question is raised, well, what is it that we are to do more and more of? Excuse me, well, the NIV tells us in the first verse, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. That's the subject of these two verses, how to live in order to please God. The New King James talks about our Christian walk and pleasing God and says that we are asked and urged to abound in this more and more. That's what we're being asked and urged to abound in here this morning, our Christian walk, our pleasing of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say this morning that it's true of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 that we are to make it our aim and our business to excel. That's how the word could be translated, abound or excel, to excel in our Christian walk, to excel in our pleasing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's our message here this morning. Make it your aim, make it my aim to excel in pleasing God. Make it our aim and business to excel in our Christian walk. Now, although this is the beginning of the fourth chapter of this epistle, it's actually really the first exhortation or instruction of the letter. It's really the first time that Paul turns to these people and instructs them. In the previous three chapters, mostly, he's been telling the story of how he came to Thessalonica and of what took place. It's been a narrative defending his own ministry. But he moves from that in chapter 4 to the word finally and says, as for the rest, and here's his instruction. And his instruction effectively is, make it your aim and business to excel in your Christian walk. To excel in pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. And this heading which we find in verse 1 is really a heading for the remaining of his teaching through the final two chapters. He goes then into great detail, but this is the general statement. Make it your aim and business to excel in your walk. Abound in it more and more. Well, this phrase abounding or excelling is not new to this epistle. He's already spoken of how he more abundantly was eager to see them when he was separated from them. He knew that abounding in his own heart to see them again face to face. In chapter 3 and verse 12, we see something of his desires for them. And he says there, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow. The word increase is the word abound. He's desiring that these people would excel in their Christian love one to another. The word is used again in chapter 4 and verse 10. Again, it's about their brotherly love. He says, you do love all the brothers, yet we urge you to do so more and more. He's urging them to excel in brotherly love. And so here at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul is moving on from the narrative, moving on from his prayer, which is expressed at the end of chapter 3, to deal with God's will for their lives and how they are to respond. And he says, you are doing well. The NIV says this is in fact how you are living. But do so more and more. Make it your business to excel in your Christian life. As he comes on to deal with what God's will for them is, he says it is that they be a people who are set apart, exclusive for God. And he then comes on in his following verses to deal with three particular matters. The main emphasis is sexual purity. The second is brotherly love. And the third is work. What he's effectively saying in detail here is excel in holiness. My, that's a thought, isn't it? Excel in obedience. Excel in putting the word of God into practice. Excel in brotherly love and excel in work. But first of all, it begins with this general word of encouragement, exhortation. Excel in your Christian walk and in being pleasing to God. So I want us to look at this word excel or abounding this morning. And first of all, I want you to be very aware that excelling features in much of life. As we look around us today, we see people who are excelling. We might not like the world of celebrity. We might find it entirely distasteful. But it's interesting that the winner of X Factor this year, Alexandra Burke, is honoured for what? She's honoured for excelling. She started singing at the age of 5. She was bullied at school because she gave herself to doing something more and more, to abounding in it. She lost many competitions, she came second in some, but she carried on doing more and more that which she needed to do to be a singer. And that involved her in discipline and perseverance and improving in the gift that God had given her to sing. She excelled. She put into practice more and more the things she ought to make the most of the talent given to her. But she got better and better. It wasn't just about doing more in terms of quantity, but better in terms of quality. The man behind X Factor, Simon Cowell, began life with some good connections in the music industry, but he made the most of them. And he started off in life doing lots of very menial tasks, but he abounded in them. He applied himself to them, and thus he came to be excelled. And the world honours these people for their excelling. The world honours sports people today for their excelling. We've had a year of Olympic triumph. The Olympic athletes and rowers and cyclists, like the BBC Sports Personality of the Year, Chris Hoy, they have some natural talent which they have improved upon. They've excelled. The gold medalists have excelled. They've abounded more and more as they've trained and applied themselves. Excelling is a feature of much of life. In finance and in business, whether it's Alan Sugar on The Apprentice or the dragons who sit in the den judging other people's entrepreneurial projects. These are people who have excelled. Richard Branson at Virgin is a man who's excelled. He's more and more abounded in what he needed to get where he's got. The world does this. In my day, when I left school, I was encouraged to read The Pursuit of Excellence by Peters and Waterman. That shows how aged I am. But if you put The Pursuit of Excellence into Google on your computer, the second website to come is actually the website called A Puritan Mind. And it talks about us excelling in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they do it in sport. They do it in celebrity. They do it in finance and business. They do it in education. The encouragement in education today is to excel, to abound more and more. Not everybody can be top, but we're encouraged to do our best, better and better. Excelling is a feature of life. Secondly, of course, excelling, as in many of these examples, can be twisted. Excelling can be twisted and corrupt and perverse because of the nature of the human heart. Some of the most successful people in our country are rich and famous on account of their excelling in sin. The very things that they do and parade are sinful themselves, and that's what they tragically excel in. Others excel with wrong and sinful motives. People excel for their own glory, their own empire, the glory of their own name. And people excel in wrong methods. People excel by ruthless selfishness and by trampling over everybody else. I told you I used to work with a man. It was said of him in the stock market world that he would sell his own mother if he could buy her back cheaper the next morning. Those were his ruthless methods. He excelled, but not in a way which we would want to follow this morning, because excelling can be so twisted. Thirdly, I want you to notice that excelling can fail to exist where it could or should. Excelling is a feature of life. Excelling can be twisted. There are dangers to it because of the human heart. But thirdly, it can fail to exist where it could or should. Let me just mention Uganda to you in Africa. Uganda, there's not a culture where pursuit of excellence is featured highly, because it's a less developed country and culture. The main concern in Uganda is survival and basic maintenance. That's the obvious feature of the place. The main aim at the beginning of the day is to gather sufficient food that you can live. In that place, there are limited opportunities for work, limited opportunities to improve upon your current situation. So once you've met that first hurdle of finding food, there's not a lot in that environment or culture to encourage you to abound more and more and to pursue excellence. The culture is more, well, we do what we have to get by. And therefore it's quite a challenge when we're teaching in the Christian circles the truth about doing all for the glory of God. Because the whole idea of the very best is more foreign to them than perhaps it ought to be. Excelling is not a feature. As education improves, it probably will be. But notice that perversely, even in our own society, there's a huge inconsistency on this matter of excelling. Celebrity and some success is celebrated as long as it affects unknowns. But when it affects somebody that we know, then we can despise it in our own circle. We can celebrate excelling when it's at a distance, but if it's somebody near to us and we're jealous of them and we're part of the really not bothered mentality, then somebody else excelling, somebody else abounding more and more, is something that we don't like. The whole idea of wanting to do well or taking a pride in what you do is frowned upon and belittled. And if we looked at our own history here in Shepshed, we'd have to say that we live in a town whose history has been shaped largely by being a village. And historically, we've been largely self-contained with limited opportunities. The streets of London may have been paved with gold, but the agricultural and hosiery industries on the doorstep meant that aspiration was not part of the fabric of life as it would have been in towns. And so you can find places today in England where aspiration and excelling have not really been part of the culture. So in Christian circles too, you can find a people for whom the pursuit of excellence is largely a foreign experience. Well, I do what I do. I'll keep my nose clean. I don't make a fuss. I don't make waves. I do what I do to get by and no more. Well, what's the point? I'm not really one of these people who abounds more and more. I just do as little as I can to get by. And you can find the pursuit of excellence lacking in churches. And that ought to be a concern for us when, as unbelievers in the congregation, do they see a people whose lives have been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they aware that they're surrounded by a people wholeheartedly doing all for the glory of God? Or are people who spiritually do what those around them do in the secular sphere, as little as possible and no more? When we see people out of that community being converted, have they seen the excelling that Paul speaks of? Have they seen the putting into practice of this verse where we're urged to abound more and more in our Christian walk and in pleasing God? Or have they seen a half-hearted, half-soaked Christianity which simply doesn't stand up in any measure or form to the teaching of the Apostle Paul? How will they ever be encouraged to grow? and to put this verse into practice. I ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to abound more and more. And then there's believers who are a bit long in the tooth. They've seen it all. And they're no longer abounding more and more. They rather give the impression that they're out to grass. They once perhaps abounded. But now the hunger, the glory has faded, and rather than more and more, it's less and less. Not so much in activity, but in attitude. Because the excelling here is about quality, not just quantity. See, there's a danger that we'll respond this morning and say, well, it's about more religion and more activity, when it's about more obedience, more love, more submission, more integrity, more Christ-likeness. Some believers, tragically, are rather self-righteous. They're so self-centered in their Christianity that man's performance is their entire focus. And they're sufficiently self-righteous to thank God that they're not like other Christians. And so they ease up on their own pursuit of excellence, thinking that they're ahead of the game. Well, look at everybody else. I can probably ease up a little bit. What about the Christian who's half-hearted and never been anything other? Always sought to get by on the bare minimum. A little reading, a little prayer, a little sacrifice, a little but not too much obedience, a little submission, a little devotion, a little love. And what about those who claim to be Christians, but we'd have to say are nominal Christians? They go through the outward motions in a place, in a church, where the lowest common denominator prevails, and there's not much provoking on to love and to good deeds. So the stagnant treadmill doesn't stand out as any different. They get away with it because it's not that different to that which is going on around them. There's also those believers who have always applied themselves to the Word of God, but rather think that they've never excelled in anything and have never set themselves to abound more and more in the things of God. Never crossed their mind to be a people who excel in this manner. They do what they need to. They apply themselves very earnestly and very seriously, but they've never thought about being someone who abounds more and more. And then there's believers who are disappointed. They set out on the Christian walk aright. They were aware then that others weren't appearing to seek first the kingdom of God like they were. And they faced a few knocks because of their earnestness. And wearied and lacking courage, they just settle back for mediocrity and for the status quo. Excelling is a feature of life. Excelling can be twisted. Excelling isn't found in some cultures and communities in the way in which it ought to be. And the pursuit of excellence isn't found in some Christian communities for all these reasons in the way in which it should. And it is very clear that it is a feature of New Testament Christianity. We're encouraged here to abound more and more. God himself is a God whose grace abounds. God himself is excellent in himself and in all of his ways in terms of his moral perfection. God pursues excellence for his people. We're told that God is able to make all grace abound to us. He's an abundant God, an excelling God. The grace of God abounded to many, we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. And the one point of this morning's message is to encourage you to take to heart this word this morning and make it your aim and business to excel in your Christian walk. To excel in pleasing God. You see, it's Paul who wrote these words, and Paul's life excelled, didn't it? We read that most helpfully, I think, in Philippians chapter 3, where he talks about the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus and says, I want to know Christ. He knows Christ already, but he wants to know him more. What a wonderful thing to take to heart this morning. It's never dawned on me before, but from now on, God helping me, I want to excel in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. not just fitting it in around the framework of my own life, but I want to abound more and more now in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3, I press on towards the goal. How many of us here this morning have ceased to press on? Maybe because of disappointment, maybe because of self-righteousness. We've just slumped back and we're no longer pressing on. And we'd have to say that our walk, we're not pursuing it with excellence. We're pursuing it with mediocrity and with a can't much be bothered mentality. That's not the mentality of the Apostle Paul. He longed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, this morning, won't you abound more and more in knowing Christ? I'd hate us to respond this morning by saying, well, it all just needs more time and more religion. Well, okay, we need to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have our Bibles open to read what he says to us and to meditate upon him. But it's not about more religion and more activity. We can abound more and more in knowing Christ. It was Paul's teaching to urge other people on, to aim for perfection. Abound in this grace, he says. Abound in this grace of hope. Abound, pursue it. Make it the chief priority of your life. And that's what I believe 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 is about. The priority for us as Christians to excel, to abound in our walk and in pleasing God. The original speaks about our walk. By that it doesn't mean simply putting one foot in front of the other. The Christian's walk is our life, our behaviour, our conduct. The whole of our life. Not the way we behave in church, but the whole of our life is termed in the Bible our Christian walk. And that's what we're being encouraged here to abound in, to excel in. A walk is supposed to be steady, consistent progress. The general direction of it anyway. We stumble and fall, but we're picked up and we go again. The general direction of our lives, Godward in our walk. The alternative to that is stagnation or treading water or decline or being stuck or slipping away or being pulled back and sucked in the wrong direction. How's your walk this morning? How's your walk as we've just sung with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going to sing 764, not 754, when we walk with the Lord? How's your walk? How's the cause with you? I'm not asking you what title you've got in the church. I'm not telling you what activities you turn up to. How's your walk? Because Paul says, abound in it. And abound can be translated as excellent. Pursue excellence in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that your priority. If I asked you this morning, what things are you trying to excel in? I wonder how many of us will be able to say, well, I'm trying to excel in this. Well, make number one your walk with the Lord. He's worthy of you pursuing excellence in your walk. The Spirit of the living God is not content with mediocrity. Not content with second best. Not content with getting away with as little as possible. The priority is spiritual growth and excellence and abundance in your words, in your thoughts, in your deeds. Can I urge you to settle no longer for half-hearted mediocrity if that's what your walk has been about, but here this morning to repent. A new beginning always begins with repentance. Lord, I'm sorry for my half-heartedness. I'm sorry that I've abounded, Lord, in this, this and this, but I've never even sought to abound in my walk with you. And Lord, you are worthy of me pursuing excellence, abounding in my walk. And if you want to know what should mark the Christian walk, well, if there is a helpful here, it's simply that we please God. Paul says to the Ephesians, find out what pleases the Lord. And the principles of what pleases the Lord are found in God's word here. Finally, we instructed you how to live. You know what instructions we gave you. They taught the word of God. Our walk is to be in accordance with the word of God. Here we're told how as a saved people we are to please the Lord. May we be encouraged this morning. So from this day forth, my next step, the rest of my life, is going to be about pleasing the Lord in a way I've never seen it before. How I spend my time to please the Lord. What I look at with my eyes to please the Lord. What I allow into my ears to please the Lord. My thoughts, my desires, my words, my actions. Lord, does this please you? Lord, I want to please you. I've never excelled in anything, but Lord, by your grace, I want to excel in pleasing you. You're the reason I live. You've saved me. I bear your name. My response must be to pursue excellence in pleasing you. It's urgent. Paul urges here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He refers to the commandments or the instructions given to them by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as believers, we ought to come to these commandments, and they're not as a law which is barking at us from the outside. These are the commandments which for believers are not burdensome, but a delight. He is an inward enabler. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says I'm to abound more and more in pleasing God. Well, Lord, by your grace I shall. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Make it your aim and practice to abound and excel in pleasing God, in living that life, in having that walk which is pleasing unto you. Not going to go into all of these in detail, but we already know some of the things that the Thessalonians are already doing. And the NIV translates it as, in fact, you are living. They're doing some things which are commendable. But Paul then doesn't say, well, you know, that's good. Let's move on to something else. He says, abound more and more in them. Pursue excellence in the things that you're doing well. Make it your business to excel in welcoming the word of God. That's what the believers did here at Thessalonica. They embraced, they readily and deliberately received into their minds and their hearts the word of God. They welcomed it like we would some in hospitality, throwing wide open the door and inviting them in. That's what they did with the word of God. Can I encourage you this morning as you face a new year to excel in welcoming the word of God? Praying eagerly for its preaching and your own reception of it. Coming hungrily to hear the word of God. Mortifying that which would hinder the word of God bearing fruit in your own life. Getting rid of all anger and bitterness and the things which Peter talks about in chapter 2 of his first letter. Excel in welcoming the word of God. Excel in works of faith. That's what he's already commended the Thessalonians for. Remember, he was concerned for their faith. That brotherly love that he had for them was concerned with their spiritual well-being. He sent Timothy to increase their capacity to trust. He took the word of God that they would know him better. But from that it produced works. Those good works which God has foreordained for us to do. Can I encourage you this morning to excel in welcoming the word of God? Can I encourage you to excel in your works of faith and in your labors of love? Oh, to be as people who pursued excellence in their love, which prompts labour. Those labours of love which you do perhaps in the life of the church. Can I encourage you as you review them at the end of this year, to say, next year, God helping me, I want to abound more and more in these things. Not necessarily quantity, quality. Excel in labours of love, not as a merit, but as an act of love and faith and thanksgiving. To do the very best for Jesus. To do the very best for God. He's worthy of this. That's what he's called us to. To excel in our imitation of the Lord. Remember, that's something else these people have done. Following his example. Carefully observing his life and the word of his which was preached to them. And I encourage you this year to excel in your imitation of the Lord. In your submission to him, in your sacrifice for him. The people here imitated the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about obedience and submission. Who of us here this morning would have to say to God, Lord, I'm sorry, I've never even sought to excel in submission and in obedience. I obey when it suits me. Oh, Lord, help me to excel in this imitation which involves obedience and submission. They were people who excelled in their evangelism. We know that their faith rang out, sounded forth, echoed back to the people around them. Lord, that we'd be a people who excelled in our evangelism, as we pray for the preaching of God's word, as we use the media which are available to us today to tell the unsearchable riches of Jesus to others. And as by life and lip, we take those God-given opportunities to give a reason for the hope which we have within us. The people here in Thessalonica, their faith went out by what was seen and heard by the community around them. Might we excel in our evangelism? I could give you other headings here this morning from this letter. They excelled in serving the Lord. They excelled in waiting for Him. They excelled in brotherly love and devotion. Can I encourage you this morning to pursue with excellence your brotherly love and devotion? No, I wonder what I can get away with next year. Nobody will notice too much if I only do this. But to excel in the meeting together of the brothers in brotherly love and devotion. The Corinthian church was told to excel in their giving. To pursue excellence in their giving. When I first came to Shepshed on the 7th of September 2003, a verse was handed me from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, and it said, therefore, beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding or excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And I know that I'm better off as an individual when I'm abounding in the work of the Lord. Because it's a great blessing to being obedient. We all know that. And that sits in front of me every day of the week to remind me what I'm to do. And it's to excel, it's to abound in the work of the Lord. Not necessarily quantity, but quality. That's the aim. To pursue excellence in the work of the Lord. The church at Colossae was told to abound in faith with thanksgiving. I can almost break that down and say, yes, we're to abound in faith, but we're also to abound in faith with thanksgiving. We could be a people who pursue excellence in thanksgiving in our hearts, just to be a more thankful people. The church at Philippi, Paul prayed for them that they would abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight in their love. That their love would abound more and more. There's only one point to this morning's sermon. Sometimes there are three. Sometimes you might feel that there's no point at all to them. But this morning there's one point. And it's simply this, to bring out what Paul is saying here. That you and I might make it our aim and our business to excel with God's grace in our Christian walk. To excel in our pleasing of Him. Here was a people, and here's a people, who are loved of God. A people who are in the Father and in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A people who are saved. Do you know this morning that if you're not saved, you can't please God? That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So whereas everybody else this morning has been encouraged to pursue excellence in their pleasing of God, if you're not saved, please see the harshness of this, the truth of this. You haven't even begun to please God. Because you're still outside of Christ. And you can't please Him. In your sin. In the darkened understanding which you have in your mind, it's impossible for you to please God. And that's why I'd urge you to see the severity of your plight this morning outside of Christ. Here's a people who heard the gospel and were saved. They turned and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved from the wrath to come. What of you this morning? Oh, if only you turn from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then respond by living a life that would be pleasing in the sight of God. And can I encourage you, if you become a Christian here this morning, to then pursue with excellence your walk for the rest of your life and your pleasing of the living God. Paul had preached the gospel to these people, but he had also instructed them then how to live. What their walk should be. What their walk should be about in the pleasing of God. And this people here had responded well. When he hears from Timothy the good news of their love and faith, what does he then do? He asks and urges them to abound more and more in their walk and in their pleasing of God. To excel and not to settle for mediocrity. To go on and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you here this morning to excel in your Christian life? With the grace of God, to seek to excel in pleasing Him, just as the world seeks to excel in doing wrong things. Just as the world excels with wrong motives. Just as the world excels with wrong methods. Can I encourage you to make it your aim and business to excel in your Christian walk and in your pleasing of God? Many Christians fail to do so. The church at Ephesus forsake its first love. The church at Laodicea was lukewarm and the Lord wanted to vomit them out of his mouth. Paul instructs us to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. What do you desire to excel or abound in this morning? What do you honestly in your heart desire to excel in or to abound in this morning? Please make it the pleasing of the Lord. The pleasing of the Lord. May we be a people who pursue excellence in that as a matter of first priority.